We'll call to order the council meeting for September 25th. If everyone would stand for the pledge.
Excuse me.
Of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Lord, bless the decision of the body, guide us tonight, future as well. Amen.
Can we have roll call?
Here.
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 Here. Here.
Here.
Here.
Here.
Adoption of the agenda. I'd like to make one request that we remove Reedy Financial off of new business, just so that they can get through their business and get out of here. Any more, Aaron?
Okay, motion to approve the agenda.
Second. Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to the agenda with one. Moving Reedy Financial.
Question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
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 Yes. Is approved by a vote of 7-0. Need approval minutes for the September 11th meeting.
Motion to approve the minutes from the September 11th meeting.
Second. Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to approve the minutes as presented.
Question.
Yes.
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 Yes. And those are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Being none, do we have any committee chair reports? Report of city officers. We have no old business. We'll move to new business and start with Reedy Financial. We have them here tonight to go over the budget, what we're proposing in the budget, and so you guys understand where we're headed.
Try to kind of give you guys a quick summary of what we've discussed thus far and not take too much time here because I know there's stuff on the agenda.
Thank you.
My name's Brandon Robbins. I'm with Reedy Financial Group. This is Mickey Bell handing everything out to you guys. We've met with the mayor and Sharon and some other folks a couple times, department heads a few times, putting this budget together for this year. And what you have before you is a brief summary, kind of giving you more of the cash flow perspective in the first table, and then your actual capital improvement plan that's been created for this year, which essentially gives you a kind of 30,000 foot look at the summaries of the next 4 years of capital funding for the city. Yeah. Obviously, that's fluid. This year, what we're doing is looking at the 18 year for the budget. In the future, needs change, but it's built, and it's something that can be very easily changed to adapt to the needs of the city. The thing I'd like to start with before we get into the summary is kind of giving you guys a quick snapshot of where you were, where you're going as far as the financial plan for the city goes. This book I have before me is one of the drafts of that financial plan, and this budget book you guys have before you is just a part of it. So quite a bit of information, and I'd be happy to go over it with any of you guys in any other time, probably 3 or 4 hours to go through the details. So really the city's faced with, it's about a 32% circuit breaker. And what that means, guys, is of your tax levy, the certified amount of tax levy that you would otherwise receive from the state, 32% of it you don't collect. That's the tax gaps for you. That's in 2008, 2009, these were in. They were there to essentially help the taxpayer so that we didn't have high tax rates that they couldn't afford. Now we're in a position to where a lot of the units that not just the city itself, but all the units that make up this taxing district, they're faced with those tax gaps, and they have to essentially adapt their budgets to be able to fund their operating and capital needs with the loss of that revenue. So, yes, 32% is pretty substantial, and the only way to really drop that is to decrease your taxes, which you really can't do because you substantially lose a lot of revenue, or increase your tax base, which is typically done through annexation or reorganization, and harder to do these days with the new laws. So what you have here, and what this has been built off of, is a five-year financial operating and capital improvement plan. And that plan essentially takes into consideration the circuit breaker burdens and any other revenue restrictions or gains that you have in the future, including community crossings grant money, the new Stella grant that we were discussing with the mayor just recently. And it's got all of that funded in this plan. And this summary here kind of gives you a brief look at the primary funds for the city that fund all of your operating and capital. There are some other funds, which I have a note at the bottom of that table, that are locally appropriated. Those funds essentially bring in revenue that, and then whatever revenue they generate funds their budget. That's not essentially what we're looking at here, but you will have those in your budgeting process as well, and those are included in that. But what you see is primarily all the funds are balanced or near balanced. The future of getting the city to a point where when it turns in a budget to the DLGF or the Department of Local Government and Finance state to get it approved, it's not getting kicked back saying you guys have to have $1 million budget cut and we get into a position where we have to do an additional appropriation or we have to do things to restore it, or essentially you never want to have to get rid of essential services, and the city's been fortunate to not have to do that. But that's what the state ends up doing when cash isn't growing or there's not positions of cash flow that look good in the general fund in particular. So this year, the general fund, as you can see, is balanced. One thing we do take into consideration is unused appropriations. So when you guys budget, got around a $7 million budget in your general fund, you're going to have some funds that you don't spend. So we consider those funds. State doesn't. That's why you typically see some sort of a budget cut when your cash reserves are lower in those funds. The motor vehicle highway fund, that is pretty well balanced for this year. There is a little bit of deficit. I mean, it shows about $15,000, and that's really subject to how it ends up being spent. That fund is receiving new revenues this year due to the new state surtaxes, so that's nice. It's going to help fund a lot of the service needed in that fund. Local road and street, another primary fund, project-based, that fund is balanced. Parks fund is balanced. The fire fund is now balanced as well. That's one that we've had an issue with in the past as far as trying to get the right amount of revenue in there. This plan balances and funds that. The riverboat fund and the CEDIT fund, or is what you guys known it as, the economic development fund, those are two funds that in the past the council has not done in the budgeting process. This plan, this capital improvement plan that we have, which is primarily where the CEDIT fund is funding most of your capital, that is what that makes that budget up, and that's what we're proposing this year before you guys. The riverboat fund is actually helping fund some of the health insurance obligations of our general fund. That's it. It is funded and balanced. And then the LIT economic development, the state changed the name of the income taxes. The LIT is local income tax. It's no different than the CEDIT that was there before. That fund is going to fund most of all your capital needs from operating. So your general fund, you might have a Board of Works department that has capital it needs to buy something out of there. I don't know if it's just called a truck. That was asked for by the department heads. It has been moved into the CEDIT fund now to fund it out of there. Okay. So basically what we did to help the operating funds be funded and start to get to a position where we build cash in the future is we took all capital requests out of the operating type funds, general fund, MVH fund, park fund, fire fund. We put it into the funds such as CEDIT that can fund that cap, that has the available funds there. In CEDIT, you can see there is a deficit. That deficit is so we can do this Stellar grant. If by some chance that Stellar grant doesn't come in, you would have a surplus in that fund. But the Stellar grant is a great opportunity, something that we were just presented with in the last few weeks here, and definitely has the cash reserves in it to be able to support it. So, I mean, absolutely wanted to get that in there to try and get some of that free money. CUMCAP development is another significant source of funding for capital. That's right there above that, on that table, above the lit economic development. Another great area for that, that has a significant amount of your paving budget in it. So your economic development and your CUMCAP development are going to pave your roads. They're going to be your grant matching for community crossing grants. Don't use your general fund on that right now because you don't have the available source revenues in there. We're focusing that on operating. We have recycling fund in there this year. You know, this is considered to be a utility to some extent because it's a fee-based fund. We have it in here as a budgeted fund just because what we're doing is it's been generating enough cash flow to basically self-fund the operations, whereas that used to be in the general fund. This year, what we're proposing is that it's moved into its own fund and funds itself. So should be in a good position to do that. I have some notes underneath here, some narrative notes that I've kind of already went over, but there's about $250,000 in the Economic Development Fund laid out for the Stellar Grant. You know, and we talked about the Riverboat and the EDIT Fund or the Economic Development Fund not being appropriated in the past through this process. You know, it's pretty advantageous to go ahead and move forward with it in the budgeting process because a couple reasons. The state now says in the budgeting process, we don't need to advertise in the newspapers. We put it into the gateway budgeting system. That system's a public access system. As soon as we put that Form 3 on there, which will be later this week, that's the publication form. Anybody can go on and see it. They're saying for that reason, we don't have to pay for the advertisements. When we do an additional appropriation like we have in the past on economic development, on Riverboat, that additional appropriation, we have to pay for the advertisement still. We can't do that on Gateway. So it'll save some money. And with a plan in place, it makes it a little easier to kind of see where it's going in light of that. So what you see on the next page, on page 2, is the capital improvement plan funding. What this does, guys, is it shows you each year, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. We actually go all the way out to 2021. And 2018 is the big year here, but you can see what we're also funding in 2017. It shows you the total amounts, and I'd be happy to send you guys breakdowns of every single little line item, whatever it would be, trucks, computers, it doesn't matter. I'll show you exactly what we got in there and where it's coming from. So in 2018, we're proposing at this point that $1.1 million out of Lit Economic Development Fund to be funded out of there. That includes your Stellar Grant. That includes a large chunk of your paving funds. And it includes a lot of the other departmental needs for capital. It's going to be all capital. So that's how it's set up currently. The only other portion that's not in here that you guys will still do in your resolution process throughout the year is we'll still transfer some revenue over to the fire fund to help it out since the property taxes can't get higher in that fund. So that's something you're going to do either way, and just like you have in the past, and I believe you do it through resolution process already. So not going to be any different there. CCD funds got $274,000. That includes $125,000 for the paving, which gets us to our paving goals this year to try and get the community crossings. Local road and streets, $85,000. Basically, these numbers are just to balance the budgets and these types of funds like LRS. Rental housing, that's a locally appropriated fund, but it has $7,500 each year. Then you have the two general obligation bonds that were just done. One was for fire equipment, and then the other one was for the other, you know, these other departments for their equipment as well. So Series A and Series B, those are the amounts that in each year that basically was budgeted originally. And then you have police pension and fire pension with small amounts, $1,500. So that is currently the fully funded capital improvement plan in a big picture setting. There is many pages of detail that build that up as well. But then your general fund and all the other funds on the other pages include the operational side too, and where you essentially will project it as far as surpluses. The book you have, if you'd like to go through it, I'd be happy to. And I can just kind of briefly tell you what it looks like. This is a draft. This is not your final version. If you so choose to make it your final version, it'll be a lot more formal looking next time. We can set it up for you that way, but it'll also be on the Gateway system. But what this does, guys, is this is our budget book. We do this for all of our clients. Actual expenditures for the prior year, what you actually spent in every line item of your budget. In the far left column, next to that's the 2017 adopted budget. Now, the thing that you might see being a little bit askew there is you did have to do some additional appropriations, transfer, things like that. So it doesn't take too much into consideration. We can adjust that, show you what the spending authority is if you'd like us to. And then expenditures, where you are through June 30th, halfway through the year. So it gives you that historical detail, helping you to make those informed decisions on your budget. Then you have the requested amounts, percentage changes from the prior year, the prior year budget. Then you have the recommended budget out on the far right. And that's the one that ties you out to that summary. That includes your capital. That includs all your operational needs, requests, all the raises and everything. And so far. And if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. I know it's kind of a quick crash course budget we've looked at, but absolutely happy.
Based on communities you're working with, in reference to the tax caps and how they're handling it, any red flags you would that you see that
in particular across the state or just if
well just as we comparing our community to other communities facing this same tax cap issue and how they're handling it?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of clients that have significant circuit breaker burdens, and what you see the first year you got, and then really red flag wise, it's more of just something that not necessarily that client that or that unit in general did not know that it was that bad or did not know that they were receiving it. So what happens is, and you guys are fixing that over the last 2 years, but you're budgeting based on what you think you're going to get. And then the state, I mean, nobody has until abstracts are out, until the counties are done with that, any idea what that circuit breaker burden is going to be. There's four different types. There's a 1% cap on homesteads, residential properties, 2% cap on ag and rental properties, 3% on commercial industrial. There's a 65 and over credit. It's good for the taxpayer, and it's typically bad for the unit that has a higher taxing district rate. Don't know what it is until that fall year. So you over budget, and when you over budget, you get to a point where you spend down cash, and then the state starts cutting your budget. That's what you see, and then you put a plan in place, and you start understanding what it's going to look like whenever you get to that budget approval process and what's the state's going to take a look at it. And you know, I think last year was the first year we really got into the planning, and yes, they came back and the state said we're going to cut your budget by $700,000 or $800,000. It got restored. The big thing is they don't consider appropriations or unused budgets. The goal would be to build your cash reserves up. You have a nice rainy day fund. The state, it's funny because the state treats it like a second general fund, but they don't look at it whenever they're approving your. So your general fund, it has, let's say, $1 million on a $7 million budget. My recommendation is always to get to about a 6 month cash reserve for any of your property tax related funds. And that's because you only collect property taxes, primary revenue source, twice a year, June and December. So you'll never have that issue again if you. That's how you get there. The plan is how you get there, and you know, budgeting in accordance with that. But you know, red flags wise, that's usually the problem. It's over budget. Right now you guys are in a pretty good position. You have cash. That rainy day fund makes it.
And this plan is to get our general fund balance up.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to get a budget approved, and that's what I've told them in our meetings. Maybe this year, and Sharon and I actually just had this discussion. Maybe this year, if we do nothing, we approve this budget, they cut it, but we just restore it again because it's going to have the reserves. And again, the reason why is because you don't spend 100% revenue cash is a better position than the OGF thinks it is at the end of the year, because they're only looking at June. They're assuming you're spending 100% of everything. So that's kind of the way they look at it. What we would essentially get to is they just approve it, and we don't have that issue anymore, even with the 32%. So, but yes, this plan gets us there. It gives you a cash reserves goal, and it shows you how to get there. And you guys are right on track with it. Takes a few years. That's the one thing I will tell you. I mean, 30% circuit breaker is big, and it takes a few years.
Any other questions? Basically, this bunch of things like youth sports, KCDC, are paving so that we're not coming back doing additionals every meeting. Advertising, and we all know that this is what we're going to spend on those items, so they're already budgeted, so we don't go through all that process.
If you guys want to see it, I'll be you got any questions? Very easy. And each year it's nice now because it's changed the way you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, we'll move on to Ordinance 39-2017, establish a merit board for the fire department.
I'll make a motion to read first reading of Ordinance 39-2017.
Second.
Motion by Vice President Grove, second by Councilman Westfall, to have first reading of Ordinance 39-2017. Now, is this the, is he reading the same ordinance that was just handed to? Mm-hmm.
Did you communicate with the attorney in Indianapolis?
I thought the last meeting it was understood that their attorney was going to contact the city attorney, as well as this was going to go to budget and finance for a meeting. And I don't know that either one of those has happened.
Did go to budget planning.
So
yeah, we did some research. We haven't had a meeting, and I know that Scott looked into it as well as I looked into some of the things. Kind of keeping our fingers crossed, we kind of hoped it would be a general fund thing because that makes it easier. But with it being a system that would be set up for the fire department, it has to come out of the fire fund. So instead of us generally just setting it up something from the general fund that way, which would have been simple, it'll have to change the fire budget a little. So then that takes Sonny's input a little bit of how he would change it, and then it would take our input then on the changes that Sonny would make. Now, is it just an added step to what we would do? I mean, that's what it looks like. In discussions with Sonny, he said that he'd like to move some things around. I know he's not here tonight because he's got his back is bothering him, but from what it looks like, it's just another step that it would be. So he would present us, like, here's the changes he would like budgetarily. Here's our approval of what they would do, because you would have some changes that he would have to make to allow that to go in. Does that make sense, in a sense? Obviously, we would need to meet to make sure that that's okay. But in the homework that I did on this, that's where we're at. So instead of just one simple step, it's just a couple. But it's easy for us to be able to do, and it should be something that just takes a couple steps, correct?
Just to table this, a couple steps are covered. Just like the city attorney just read a completely different ordinance than you think is getting passed. This one he was just handed tonight. He hasn't seen it.
Everybody has a copy of it, and it's making a couple of changes on there to the ordinance that you previously had. that you suggested making, adding.
I was working on a different one. It's real easy, folks. Just call them. I can work on this stuff in any meeting 2 weeks. And they show up on the night of the meeting. I can tell you what my objections are in 2 days. Don't pay us a facility objection. Don't pay them.
So we can work on that between the first reading and the second reading? We can get together? Well, we've made adjustments to ordinances as we've read them before.
Point of order, an ordinance is not subject to amendment until second reading. I mean, that's what our rules say. And, well, but here's my point of order. If the copy in front of us tonight is different than the copy that was in our agenda, that means it's a whole new ordinance. It's not an amendment of an ordinance because you can't amend an ordinance on first reading. Therefore, it would be out of order to have a vote on a copy presented tonight because it didn't meet the filing deadline of, what, Wednesday? Prior to a council meeting, an ordinance needs to be presented to the clerk's office for a new draft because basically you've started the procedure over by having a new copy, if that's what you want to vote on, if that's what the motion was to for this copy that was presented tonight. So, in my view, you couldn't vote on this tonight because it didn't meet the filing deadline of last Wednesday. I mean, it's just procedure.
I would suggest that we table this again and work with the city attorney and get an ordinance written that everybody's seen and had time to look at.
And really, the only order or motion that would be an order is to table the amendment or the ordinance that was in our packet, not this one. So then, because this one really doesn't
exist.
It's just procedurally is not something that can be presented to us because it doesn't meet the council rules. So I would make a motion to table the original ordinance that was part of our packet until these procedural matters can be worked on and plus have the city attorney look at whatever draft we want him to look at, but it's not the draft that was presented tonight. So that would be my motion. We table the original ordinance.
But we have a motion and a second on the floor. How do we move forward?
But the motion to table always takes precedence over.
Okay, got a motion by Councilman Chatton. Do we have a second? Do we have a second for a motion to table? Okay, I guess it dies from a lack of a second.
Is this a discussion on the floor?
Not yet.
We're still working our procedural.
So, Mr. Chairman, why can't we work with the one that's in?
Because that hasn't been advertised. That's what he's saying.
No, the one that was in our packet has to be.
The one in our packet, but not this one.
Right.
It's the one that
right.
Last
Why can't
meeting.
We not work with this one?
Same reason. Just not work. Board of Works resolution for that. So 3927 comes up with something. Same reason passing. Leave it going to be. I asked wrong. Still wrong.
Who's the speaker?
You need to come up there?
Yeah.
Before you get going, I'd like to ask, come on up. Has your attorney sought out Mr. Rolligan?
I don't know that he specifically called him, no.
Okay, that's what the intention was at the last meeting, wasn't it?
I mean, as far as him contacting him or him getting actual, something wrote up as far as what he thinks is our legalities for what we think, or what has to be in there that wasn't in there or whatnot, I'm just going to put out an opinion.
Okay. A lot of you were here at the last meeting.
Right.
You were here also. And basically, we somewhat agreed that there were two objectives. One was to figure out where the money was going to come from, and that was really, that was simple. I mean, we first thought it was just going to be the general fund, now it's going to be the fire department fund, which we can move money around to make that right.
Okay.
Like I said, instead of being 300 short, I guess we'll be three and a quarter short. So, but the other objective was the attorney that the union's been working with to be communicating with Mr. Rolligan so we could get something in front of us that we could all live with. So that was the goal, and then we did get this dropped on us at the last minute. I got an email from Justin about it late this afternoon, and then Brian gave us a paper copy during the meeting. So, like I said, I want to see all the i's dotted and the t's crossed, and the sooner that gets done, and the better. And if somebody's stonewalling this or delaying it, speak now or forever hold your peace, because I'm ready to move on with this on a workable process. But does anybody think that my comments just now are not what we communicated at the last meeting?
It was that way.
Thank you.
But also, you was going to have a financial budget, finance committee.
But we answered that in very, that was done very simple. I don't call meetings for the sake of meetings. I mean, what were we going to do? Get, call the budget and finance committee meeting and say, we're going to take it out of the general fund? Oh, no, we're going to take it out of the fire department general fund? You know, I mean, that's pretty, I mean, the fire department is going to be the one basically setting a lot of this budget. So.
Did you get this today?
Yes, I did.
Could we discuss this?
Sure.
Did you get a copy?
I can't tell what that is.
It's a report from the attorney.
Right, I've seen that, yes.
And basically, all that's saying is the difference between last meeting's ordinance and then the changes would be going from three to five in the length of term. Is that right?
Correct.
That would be the only adjustment to the ordinance from reading one to reading two that you could see?
Right. So basically, everything that was in the one from last time, it would just have to be changed. The one that was, I guess, sent out today along with attorney's.
I mean, on a positive note, budgetarily, we know where we're going with this now.
Yes, we do. We know where we're going.
The question of three to five, that was answered by the representation. So I mean, we are getting step by step closer. I mean, it's not, obviously not the prettiest process, but I mean, we're getting there.
The city attorney wouldn't offer that information. I thought the last meeting, and I apologize, I was not here, I was in Japan, that it was agreed that your attorney would get with the city attorney and you would have a budget finance meeting, and it looks like none of this has happened.
I don't see where the attorneys have to talk together.
Because this is the city attorney that writes ordinances for the city of Denison.
But I think he said that you guys would never be on the same page, is that right?
How would I know what he's going to say if he's never done it?
Well, just as a matter of process, really the only thing that we should be discussing and deliberating on tonight is the ordinance that was in our packet. I mean, this can be distributed for information, it can be distributed for whatever, but it is not in order for us to procedurally take a vote on this draft that was presented tonight. What we have to decide is what to do with the original draft that was in our packet, because that was the only one that was filed by the council rules in the clerk's office per our own schedule of our own rules. And so really the only thing we have to decide tonight is what do we want to do with that original draft. Do we want to pass it? Do we want to table it? Do we want to whatever? But that's the only thing that is subject to a vote, because this would be a violation of our own rules to vote on this draft presented tonight. It's just a simple matter of council rules.
Well, I got a question. If we pass it, the old packet tonight, the old packet, under first reading, before the second and third reading, can we change the ordinance to read five? There's only two changes, which is five.
There's more changes. Can't print a document. I don't know what the rush is. I'll be willing to. Fire department. I don't know why. There are no ordinances that have ever been passed. My right. Quite slightly.
I don't know about that, but no, this is just not eligible for substitution because we're not on second reading. You can't amend an ordinance on first reading. It's just never been done in the history of the council.
If we use the ordinance that's on our agenda, that's been advertised correctly, can we make the amendments to that on second reading. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
That's what I ask.
But that basically would mean that we are arguing the same points we did at our last meeting without any substantive change from one meeting to the next. But you're right, you could vote on that.
Did you make the motion?
Okay, it's open for discussion.
Michael, this improved one, this is the one that you guys want to go with, correct?
Say that again.
The new one that we were sent, that's the one that you guys have had the agreement with, and this is the one that you want to go with?
President Lowe, he spoke with the attorney and went over a couple of things that Mr. Rolligan said that he'd rather see or would like to see or thought should be in there or whatnot. So everything was changed according to what our attorney in Indianapolis said was correct with the information Rolligan said.
We just didn't get it until today. In fact, the press didn't get it. I mean,
so
that's
why not just table it and put that one on the agenda for next time, if that's the new ordinance that.
And we could.
Actually, I've been working on one.
I just thought either you would initiate a phone call with their attorney or their attorney would initiate a phone call with you. I didn't care who called who first. I just thought that there would be a phone call.
I'm not in the habit of calling people and asking them to change my mind. They're the proponent. Contact wrong. Could explain why
will the union willing to broker this, get those two attorneys together, and
yeah, I'm sure that can be accomplished.
And beyond procedure, there is the matter that I just think it's better that there be discussion among the firefighters on whatever draft is being considered. And considering that this draft is different than the other draft, I would like to see a little time for the firefighters themselves to have this. Since we just got this today, I assume that it hasn't been distributed to all the firefighters yet. Wrong? I don't know. We just got ours today.
Has anybody else looked at this?
Justin Lowe is the one that's been heading this up. I assume that he put it on the link with all the other mayor ordinances sent to, has everything that we're here and everything.
But there's still positive here. All right, you've got one that you like. City attorney's got something that he's worked on. Budgetarily, we have the idea of how this is going to work. So compared to where we were at 2 weeks ago, I mean, there have been some steps, even though that there has been some confusion. So, I mean, there has been progress made in the right direction. Not as much as probably some of us would like. But, I mean, we're getting there. Correct? Or am I missing something?
No, we are getting there. We're getting there. We're just getting there in the full meeting. In the meeting, we're ironing these differences out in the meeting. And hopefully, by the next meeting, we can have something to read that is acceptable to the city attorney, that's acceptable to the union's attorney.
Whether there could be differences. I mean, they could agree or disagree, but I mean,
there'll be differences.
Right.
Right.
All right. So by next meeting, then, what are we setting out that we want to see so that we know specifically what we want to have happen if we're going to go down this road?
Yes. And like I said, I don't care who calls who.
I don't really need to talk to them. I have no ordinance shopped around.
Okay.
I can email my draft out.
Just as soon as possible.
All right, it'll be tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine. We have to formally, we've informally moved it off center. And in fact, it's not like the meeting 2 weeks ago wasn't productive. I thought it was. It aired a lot of issues out that were out there. And we've moved further along this evening as well. And hopefully by next meeting, we've got something that the city attorney can live with, the union can live with, and then we can proceed. And the budget is, that's just...
I'm sure Sonny could make some changes that he needs to make and just throw it our way for approval.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big budget in the first place. And basically, it's similar to what the police department's budget looks like. So it's not like we're dealing with $1 million budget. We're dealing with $25,000 or in that vicinity. So to make a big hoopla on a budget and finance committee meeting and have a iron out a bunch of details is premature, because I think the union needs to put their input into it and see what they want in that budget as well. You agree? And then once, if we vote on it and we vote to advance it, we advance it, we pass it on first reading, it goes to the union, they see if there's anything they can't live with, and then we proceed from there. Does that sound workable?
But if you're advancing the old...
No. We're going to advance the one that Mr. Rolligan has prepared that he's sending us tomorrow.
Okay, but you're not advancing anything tonight. That was...
Well, we've advanced, well, not formally.
But not by
right,
vote.
But we're further along on this issue than we were before we walked in the room.
So, Attorney Rolligan's going to send us and the firefighters this ordinance that he's worked on, correct?
I don't have firefighters. I don't know how they are.
We can, if you send it to us, we can get it to Justin, since he's the president of the union. Fair enough?
Easy.
So, do we want to withdraw our motions and leave this table and the new ordinance be added to the next meeting?
Since the motion to suspend did not have a second, the way forward, I think, would be for the person that made the motion and the second to withdraw their motions. That will automatically defer action, and we can go on to vote on the claims.
I'll make a motion to withdraw.
Okay. Ordinance 39-2017 will be tabled until the next meeting, when hopefully the city attorney will have an ordinance available to be read and put on the next agenda.
Anything else?
Thanks, Michael.
I probably have.
I do. I got it.
Okay, we'll move on to ordinance 41-2017, an ordinance of the Common Council of Vincennes, Indiana, amending the zoning of real estate in Vincennes, Knox County, Indiana.
Oh, move we have first reading 41-2017 and refer to area plan.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Jackson, with President Brown, to have first reading of ordinance 41-2017 and refer to area plan.
Ordinance 41-2017, ordinance adopting amendment to Knox County zoning ordinance, section 123, section Deer House Boulevard.
Discussion.
Question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
Wayne Patton?
Yes.
Salters?
Yes.
Rose?
Yes.
Yes.
First reading of ordinance 41-2017 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is claims.
Make a motion to approve the claims in the amount of $584,083.71.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Council Westfall, to pay the claims in the amount of $584,083.71.
Question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
Wayne Patton?
Yes.
Salters?
Yes.
Kelly Rose?
Yes.
Westfall?
Yes.
And the claims are paid by a vote of 7-0. Miscellaneous.
would like to mention our stellar site visit was today. Feel like it went very, very well. We appreciate, we have good council members that were able to attend and participate. We appreciate that. We've got some great feedback so far on this visit, so now we just sit back and wait till October the 18th to see if we are selected as stellar. Next meeting, instead of being October 9th, will be October 10th because of Columbus Day. And one other thing, the equipment at Leicester Square will be, they'll start installing that Wednesday, so they're hoping to have a ribbon cutting on October the 7th. They're going to have the Leicester Square Fitness Fair, starts at 9 a.m., ribbon cutting at 10. From 10 to 12, there'll be health screenings and door prizes and different classes. So I encourage everybody to come out and participate October the 7th.
So the budget then will be October 10th or October 9th, right?
Correct. Anything else?
Move for adjournment.
All right, we are.